Randall. Hannah. Hey, Hannah.
Doing okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing okay. I went to see Clara tonight, and she's in a lot of pain. And they're going to do the surgery tomorrow.
What she do? Have some kind of spell and have to be admitted?
Yeah, that Saturday.
They found out it was a gallbladder.
Yeah.
Okay, I figured as much. Okay.
Yeah, that's what happened. She didn't call me till Sunday. I went and saw her Sunday, and she seemed to be in good spirits. But today was another turn of events. She was in a lot of pain.
Okay.
And I don't know whether they were holding off the pain meds or what, but I just left her a little while ago, and I didn't stay very long because she was really not in a talkative mood and in pain. And Tommy was with her. So that was okay. And they were going to give her some pain medication. So that should help her.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Della has to go in the hospital on Thursday. She has to have some pins removed where they put them in for her hip and leg. She has to have that done Thursday morning, outpatient.
Well, that must mean she's healed, ready for them to come out. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabatoa.
Oh, let me mute.
Anabatoa, Gedula Chiminsa, Tati, Sera, Alvet Gimel, Yitzhak Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Om Chasad Benu Taharenu Nora to Freshayan Sintetnun Nagibor Dorshe Yehuta Kevava Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sipkatcha Damid Gamblem Betet Resh Saditav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Etchuf Bet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Zayin Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzia Katenu Yodea Dalumo Shin Kufav Zari Yuta. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Abayim, Rav Chesed Be'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Notze Awon Wafesha Vichata Vinake. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. Comes from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutcha b'richu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu utchilun utchilu urchim. Le'achda l'shem yudhe b'ravhe. Le'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Le'mud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Tane Nandukucha Barichu Koma Diavid Leela Wittata Kolai Kishofio Vada Dikshot Velayt lach nila bialma divaye barnash ledach yaleya mineya ulan haga veya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikolai spirit bialma. The energy of this current year, 5779, is to become wiser. We've been studying one of 13 verses that start with a hey and end with a tet. For the month of Av, that verse is from the book of Job. It's chapter 21, verse 22. Halel Yelamed Dat Wehu Rabim Yishpot. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse that we study from the Tanakh. That verse is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael undati v'shakan tachtav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo li v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God utilizing a tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me mehe shila lahe aka aka heta. Hezayo alada la awa eheya yozala mebe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pehela nulaha yo 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 me la he wa nuta he a yo reta shi a he. Re o yo wa wa me la ka be wa shi re yo ke wa la he se ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me he re he wa yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la re yo a shi la me yo he. Wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re wa me be yo he wa yo he he anu wa me be yo da me be me nu ko ayo wa he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu wa ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo sa la me re he, he yo yo, he me me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa, pe no he, pe nu la. Nu me ha, yo he yo, me nu he, he se wa. Nu yo he, a he shi a, yo re ta, shi a he. Re la yo, a wa me, la yo be, wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me we he a yo he uza he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta. Me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ko ka ko. Me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the fifth day of Av. We start with Rabbi Yitzhak and Rabbi Shlomo Luria Ashkenazi, known as the Ari, and we will be studying a number of his writings tonight. Rabbi Gedalia Chiyun, Rabbi Chaim of Krasna, Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grodzinski of Vilna, Rabbi Benjamin Taylor, Rabbi Yechiel Michel Dorfman, today we will make the connection to the Ari's meditations for the 3-week period. So we're transforming the letters of Hashem's name one letter to the right, and so we will have Tet Dalet Hey Dalet. Second meditation is to transform it one letter to the left, and it becomes Kaf Vav Zayin Vav. And the third translation, or the third meditation, is to utilize the Atbash letter substitution to create the center column of Mem Tzadi Peitzav. Together, these three names have a gematria of 360. Which is the same as the letter Shin, spelled out, Shin Yud Nun. The fourth meditation is to transform the word Sara, Sadi Resh He, to the word Retse, Resh Sadi He. It has the same letters, but they're in a different order. And in order to make that transformation, we need to take the letters, which is Resh Tzadi Hey, Gematria 295, and add to it the name Adonai, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. When we raise that, we have a second Shin Yud Nun, because the Gematria is 360 like before. The fifth meditation is on the word Sim Shalom. And we have the two shins that we've created in the four meditations, totaling 720. Now we need to find and add one for each of the six names that we have utilized in this growth and in this transformations. The six names are Tet Dalet He Dalet, Kaf Vav Zayin Vav, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, Elohim, Adonai Yud Hey Vav He, and Adonai Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. With the 726 connection, we are able to inject the consciousness of peace in this period of the negative 3 weeks. Now we will connect to the Ani meditation, which is a tool we use to maintain balance in our lives. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yo aheni wa yo hey. Yesod. Yo ahuni wu yo hu. Yo ahuni wu yo hu. Yo ahuni wu yo hu. Od. Yo ahuni wu yo hu. Yo ahuni wu yo hu. You are who ni wu yo hu. Netzach. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Ye are he ni wu yo he. Tiferet. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Yo are who ni wu yo ho. Gevura. Ye ach. Ni wu yo. Ya'ach, niwiyoch. Ya'ach, niwiyoch. Chesed. Ya'ach, niwiyoche. Ya'ach, niwiyoche. Ya'ach, niwiyoche. Bina. Ya'ach, niwiyoche. Ya'ach, niwiyoche. Yeah, anyway, okay. Hachma. Yeah, honey, why you have? Yeah, honey, why you have? Yeah, honey, why you have? Keter. Yeah, honey, why you have? Yeah, honey, why you have? Yeah, honey, why you have? The Esser Dibrotz. Vadaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha-ele le-mon. Anochi Hashem. Elohecha asher hotzeiticha Meretz Mitzrayim, Mibet Avadim, Lo Yehiya Lecha, Elohim Acherim, Al Panai Lo Ta'aseh Lecha. Tesel with call to Muna, Asher Bashamayim, Mima'al Washer Baretz Mitachat, Washer Bamayim Mitachat La'aretz, Lo Tishtachave Lachem, Willo Tavdein, Ki Anochi Hashem, Elohecha al kanach poked awom laretz al banim al shileishim we al ribeim lisonai v'yoseh hesed la'alafim le'ohavai u'shomrei mitzvotai lo tesa. Et Shem Hashem Elohecha Lashav Ki Lo Yenake Hashem Et Asher Yisa Et Shemo Lashav Zachor Et Yom HaShabbat Lekadsho Sheshet Yamim Kavod v'asita, ko melachtecha v'yom hashvi'i, Shabbat l'Hashem Elohecha, lo taseh ko melacha, ata uvincha, uvtecha avdecha, V'yamadcha u'hemtecha, L'gercha asher b'sharecha, Ki sheshet yamim asa, Hashem et hashamayim, V'et haaretz et hayam v'et kol asher bam, V'yanach b'yom hashvi'i, Al kein berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat, V'yikad shehu, k'beid et avicha, V'et imecha, l'man yarikun, Yamecha al ha-adama, Asher Hashem Elohecha Noten Lo Tirtzach Lo Tinaf Lo Ya'arikun Yamecha Al Hadama Asher Hashem Elohecha Noten Lach Lo Tirtzach Lo tinaf, lo tignof, lo ta'aneh. Bereecha, et shaker lo tachmon, beit reecha. Lo tachmon, eshet reecha, v'yavdo v'yamato. Vishoro vachamoro, v'kol asher l'reecha. We'll now say the two lines of the Shema, followed by the abridged Kaddish. Please cover your eyes as you lean slightly to the left, and we say together, Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad. now for the Kaddish, which we use as an elevator to rise to the level of our class. Id Gadal, Id Gadah, Shemei Rabbah, we all say Amen. Bialma divra kirute viam lis malchute bechayechonu viomechonu bechaye de kol beit Yisrael. Bagala uvizman kariz. Yitbarach vishtabach vitpa'ar vitromam vitnase vitadar vitale vitalal. Shemei de kucha. Le'elamim kol birkata, v'shirata tushbechata, v'mechemata da'amiran v'alma, yeheshlama rabba min shamaya, v'chaim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. Ose shalom bim romal, hu yase shalom aleinu, yalko Yisrael, v'imru amen. If you go to the Revealed Wisdom landing page, in row 14, the second column from the left, you will find a landing page about the Ari and the classes. We use it as a leap-off point to the classes from the writings of the Ari. Tonight, we're going to start reading from the top where it says, who is Rabbi Isaac Luria, also known as the Ari? Simply put, the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, is the best known Kabbalist since the writing of the Zohar. He developed an understanding of the Kabbalah called the Lurianic system. All Kabbalists since his birth follow this system. There are no exceptions. It is for this reason that his recommendations are taken to heart by almost all teachers of the Kabbalah. As an aside, I have known teachers that did not follow the Lurianic system, and I have learned from them their systems. And I do have some understanding of other systems. But the majority of the world is following the writings of the Ari, and so are we. Continuing. Rabbi Luria also teaches that the last 9 days of the 3-week period, which we started yesterday, are the toughest, and he chose to leave this world on the fifth day of the month of the fifth month, which is known as Hei Ba'av, Hei being the fifth day, and Av is the fifth month, so that we can utilize his essence to help balance the period. And that is what we will be doing tonight as we study the different writings. Here's a midrash, a story about the relationship between Rabbi Chaim Vital and the Ari. The The teacher comes only when the student is ready. The Holy Ari, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, was born in Israel, but at a very young age, due to the death of his father, he moved to Egypt, where he was raised by his uncle, who was a wealthy merchant, and eventually he married his uncle's daughter, which comes to teach us that the true soulmate of someone is going to be as difficult or as easy to find as their spiritual level. After his marriage, the Arizal spent some time trying his hand in business, but a short while later he gave it up completely to pursue a life of scholarship and holiness. The reason, it is said, is that one day he came across the Holy Zohar and was instantly enchanted. He became so engrossed in its study that he let go of all else. He spent 7 years of intense Talmudic study with his teacher, Rabbi Bezalel Ashkenazi, author of the Shechita HaMekubetzi. Afterwards, he secluded himself for 6 years. He would retreat to a cottage that was built on the banks of the Nile, where he would be alone in total isolation, returning home only for Shabbat. During this time, he would not converse or speak to anyone. Even with his wife, he would only speak when absolutely necessary. And when he did, it would be in concise words, and only in the holy language, Biblical Hebrew. From this, he merited Ruach HaKodesh, purified and prophetic intuition. Eliyahu Hanavi, the prophet, Elijah the prophet, started to appear to him and to teach him the secrets of the Torah. After 20 years of such study, meditation, and seclusion in Egypt, the prophet Eliyahu appeared to him and said, God has told me to tell you, your time is nearing. You are going to pass away from this world soon. Go up to Israel, to the city of Tzfat, and find the wise man whose name is Rabbi Chaim Vital. You shall rest your hands upon him, metaphorically speaking, as this is a form of initiatory transmission and transition, and give him over all your wisdom, because he will take your place after you pass on, and your entire being did not come down to this world except to rectify his soul, because he was a very precious soul, and through you, the wisdom you will impart and the spiritual work you will do with him. He will merit wisdom, and a great light will shine through him to the entire people of Israel. And I, Eliyahu, guarantee that you, Rabbi the Ari, that I will reveal myself to you whenever you need me, and I will reveal to you secrets of the above and below. And also God will bestow upon you Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, 1,000 times more than what you have already received. What you cannot merit here in an impure land, being Egypt, you will attain in the land of Israel. Immediately, the Ari, along with his wife and children, moved to settle in Tzfat and waited for Rabbi Chaim Vital to come to him. And there he sat, waiting and wondering, when will this Rabbi Chaim come and learn from me and receive the wondrous hidden wisdom? 6 months passed, and Rabbi Chaim did not come to the Ari. Moreover, he thought that really the Ari should come to learn from him, being that he himself was such an accomplished scholar. To compound the situation, the Ari, despite the fact that he was the humblest of men, did not wish to approach Rabbi Chaim or to ascend or to send a messenger in order to encourage him to come learn with him. Finally, after 6 months, Rabbi Chaim did come to the Ari. He had decided to present him with a difficult piece of Zohar in order to see how the Ari would decipher the text. This was meant to be a test of sorts, as Rabbi Chaim was already thoroughly confident in his understanding of the text based on his studies with and the teachings of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero. The Ari proceeded to explain the selection from the Zohar very beautifully, whereupon Rabbi Chaim began to ask him a flurry of questions. The Ari answered each question thoughtfully and impressively. Afterwards, Rabbi Chaim Vital went home and began fasting. Before he went to sleep, he placed a sackcloth upon himself and sat covered in ashes. He cried bitterly in a great outpouring of his soul, praying to the Almighty that he find favor in the eyes of the Ari, so that the Ari would take him on as a student and become his teacher. The next morning he came to the Ari and said, "For the sake of heaven, do not let me go without revealing to me the great secret wisdom that you possess." The Ari replied, "The ashes you placed upon yourself last night have helped. Your prayers have been answered. This was my original intention to become your teacher. Do not worry any longer. Last night I was told by the Heavenly Academy to not withhold any information from you, and so I will reveal to you all that I know." Rabbi Chaim then said wonderingly, "Does this find favor in the eyes of the Creator, that there should be such a great light in the world, and other students besides me of this generation will not know of such greatness?" The Ari responded, "What you suggest, that you teach others, has not been decreed, for these inner secrets will be revealed only to you and to no others." If you're following along with the handout, we've reached the first of four extensive writings by the Ari. We have, in earlier years, we have prayed the first one. We have studied the first one. And they have included the general idea of the Ari's system. They've included an essay on what the Ari meant by the constriction and the concept of Tzimtzum, the concept of the breaking of the vessels from the world of Tohu. It also spoke about the sparks, the world of Tikkun and rectifying the sparks. He also explained what is a Partsufim. And then we've discussed the natural soul being a tiny spark of godliness, clothing itself in an extremely ethereal soul. Then we reach another series of essays that we have also studied. This is what's linked as part one. And it talks about the northern exposure. The first word of the Torah also alludes to concealed beginnings. He spoke about spiritual wages, because Hashem rewards his employees, his students of Torah, from the week through Shabbat. So the amount of Torah you study in a week is rewarded to you on that Shabbat. It's referring to light. And the final subject, which we studied last year, was about the four who entered the orchard. These were the four sages, including Rabbi Akiva, who entered the Garden of Eden and received certain information, which is the story is revealed in the Talmud, in the parasha, or the section of Hagiga. But it's really not clarified until you have read it in the writings of the Ari. And now we are starting tonight with section or part 1A. But first, we're going to scroll down to Parashat Devarim, and we're going to study that. I see we don't even have time to finish much of it. So we are going to go back and review section 1A. Not review, because we haven't studied this material yet, but this is the beginning of our all-night study, and I hope that we'll be able to get as far as Parashat Devarim. Section 1A, some reason, there's a duplicate of the northern exposure, so we're scrolling down past that. And also the spiritual wages. I think 1A may be a duplicate of section 1. So let us go back to the landing page on the RE and go to part 2. And this essay is titled, Get Up, Lose Bones. The resurrection of the dead testifies that the soul and body were never totally apart in the beginning. Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Just as heaven and earth were first in terms of the creation, so also are the soul and body first in terms of man. I am adding, does anyone think that heaven and earth were created together or at the same moment? This question needs to be clarified due to what is written above. Humankind itself has an aspect of heaven and an aspect of earth. This is slightly different than what we said above in the anatomy of the creation. For his soul is the spiritual component of his makeup, which parallels the heavens, and his body is the physical that parallels the earth. Concerning these two, the first verse in the Torah says, Bereshit, meaning there are two. The numerical value of the letter Bet, things that are considered first, or beginnings. In Hebrew, the word is Reshit. For just as heaven and earth were first in terms of the creation, so also are the soul and body first in terms of man. And this is why the verse contains seven words, paralleling the 70 years of a normal lifespan. This is the verse says, the years of our lives number 70, and if we are strong, 80. But the honor we attain in our short lives is wearisome and futile, for the end cuts us off swiftly, and everything we have done flies away. This is a verse that comes from Psalms. The Torah itself says that the lifespan of a human is 120 years. This verse in Psalm says, for most, it's 70. The modern Kabbalists are saying that we can live right now 190 years, and within a few years, within our lifetime, we will have be able to live at least 365 years. Continuing to read. The end of bodily existence is thus alluded to in the next verse. And the earth, the body, was formless and void, with darkness on the face of the deeps. But the Spirit of God still hovers over the waters. Tohu indicates a state of amazement and disbelief. I am adding, remember the earlier translation of Tohu is void or nothingness. And also remember above that, Tohu is a higher aspect of the dual aspects of Keter as discussed above. And if you have forgotten that, do not be concerned. Whenever we need to have it reviewed, I will review it. This is the meaning of the continuation of the verse, with darkness on the face of the depths. The Hebrew word tehom. The word tehom, meaning depths, contains the same letters as hamavet, meaning death. Darkness is the face of death. Tehom has the letters Tav, He, Vav, Mem. Hamavet, He, Mem, Vav, Ta. Same letters in a different order. This indicates that a person who dies resembles one who sits in the dark, waiting for the light to shine. And this is exactly what will happen, for the continuation of the verse states, and the Spirit of God still hovers over the waters. This Spirit of Hashem is none other than the soul that never abandons the body, For while the body was alive, the soul dwelled within it and gave it life. If at the moment of death it would depart completely, truly there would be no hope. All the bones, including the loose bone, would rot and decompose entirely. We are therefore informed that this is not the case. On the contrary, the spirit of Hashem, which is the soul, hovers over the bones. Why then does it say that the soul hovers over the waters? The waters here refer to the Torah that a person learned. In the merit of that Torah, the soul continues to hover over the body. Just as water leaves the high mountains and descends to the lowest valleys, so too does the Torah. Concerning the fact that water symbolizes Torah, this is exactly what the sages say on the verse. Oh, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. Why is the Torah likened to water? Just as water leaves the high mountains and descends to the lowest valleys, so too does the Torah. It will only be found with someone who is humble and unassuming. And I am adding, the Kabbalah teaches that the stronger the ego, the desire to receive for oneself alone, the more difficult to remember the Torah we have learned. The more humble the person, the Torah learned by that person is available to be retrieved through the person's memory. If you are forgetting some aspect of Torah, search yourself to see where your ego has risen and caused you to forget. That's an unwritten commentary, but a very important one. Water can also refer to the dew. In Hebrew, the word is tal, of resurrection, in which case the souls hovering over the bones would refer to the waiting impatiently for the 39, which is the numerical value of Tal, meaning the dew of resurrection. Waiting for the lights that will eventually shine into the bones. This is seen in the verse regarding the dew with which the Holy One will resurrect the dead in the future. Your dead will live again. My people's corpse shall rise. Awake and sing. Your dead will live again. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is a dew of lights, and the earth shall cast forth the dead who rested in it. God will use the loose bone to rebuild the newly resurrected body. For all the while that the body is decomposing in darkness, it awaits the illumination that it will receive from that dew, from the Tal. When that happens, God will use the loose bone to rebuild the newly resurrected body. This is the meaning of the sage's statement that the loose bone remains intact forever. Rabbi Shimon said, come and see what is written concerning the resurrection of the dead. Remember, please, that you fashioned me like clay, and that you will return me to the dust again. What is written immediately following this? You will pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese. You will clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. After a person's body decays in the ground at the time of the resurrection of the dead comes, the Holy One will take that bone that remains and process it like dough and like cheese that's curdled from milk. That bone will then be mixed with the remainder of the body that has already decomposed and become dust. That bone will then also become liquid like milk. It will then be curdled and given a form, like cheese is curdled out of milk. Skin, flesh, sinew, and bone will then be stretched over it. This is the meaning of you will pour me out of the milk. You will pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese. Rabbi Shimon said, all bodies remain in the earth until all that remains of them is a spoonful of decayed material. This becomes mixed with the dust of the earth, like the yeast is placed in dough. In the future, when the Holy One calls the earth to bring forth all the bodies, this dust will germinate in the earth, just like yeast germinates in dough. It will then grow and bring forth the body without blemish. Rabbi Chaya said, it is written, your dead will live again. The Holy One will thus not create new bodies for the dead in the future, but rather resurrect their original bodies. For there is a single bone that remains of a person's body after it has decomposed in the ground. That bone does not rot or decompose. It remains intact forever. When the time comes to resurrect the dead, the Holy One will soften that bone like yeast in dough. It will then rise up and expand in four directions. From it, he will reconstitute the body and all the limbs. Afterwards, the Holy One will infuse it with life. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Shia, it is just so. And come and see, how will the Holy One soften that bone? With dew, as it is written, for your dew is a dew of lights. The highest level of the soul of the tzaddik ascends to Atzilut. The neshama itself ascends to the supernal Garden of Eden in Briah. The ruach ascends to the earthly Garden of Eden in Yetzirah. While all the different aspects of the nefesh, which itself is associated with Asiyah, hover over the interred body as long as the flesh has not decomposed from the bones. After the decomposition of the flesh, even the nefesh ascends to the earthly Garden of Eden. However, the lowest aspect of the nefesh, called the vapor of the bones, the hevle degarmi, does remain in the grave, as explained in the Zohar, in Parashah Shlach. Regarding the different aspects of the nefesh, it is generally known that there are five levels of soul, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechidah, and that each of these has five sub-levels or aspects. For instance, the highest aspect of nefesh is yechida of nefesh. And after this comes chaya of nefesh, then neshama of nefesh, then ruach of nefesh, and finally the nefesh of nefesh. All of these aspects of the nefesh are called by the general name nefesh. It is the higher aspects that ascend above after the decomposition of the flesh. the lower aspects, namely the vapor of the bones, and the 288 sparks of holiness stay below. These aspects will remain within the residue of the bones until the resurrection of the dead. Now behold, this vapor of the bones itself has two aspects. The inner aspect remnants within the residue of the bones, while the outer aspect hovers over the bones. This second aspect is alluded to in the verse. His soul mourns over him. Over him precisely. For long after death, this aspect of the nephesh continues to hover over the residue of the bones. This again is why the Torah uses the word bohu in the verse. And the earth was formless and void. Void meaning is the meaning of the word bohu. In addition to meaning void, it can be broken up into the two words, bo, in it, and who, he is, referring to the minuscule amount of moisture that that bone retains, just enough to keep it intact until it is used to create the new resurrected body. Only the Torah that a person learns in this world illuminates the path before him. Undoubtedly, the loose bone could not retain even such a minuscule amount of moisture if not for the soul hovering over it. And this is clearly alluded to in the verse. When you walk in this world in the way of the Torah, she, the soul, will guide you when you lie down in your grave. She will guard over you, and when you awaken for the resurrection, she will converse with you. That is in the merit of the Torah that a person learns. The soul hovers over the bones. This is true even at the moment of death. This is because there is in this world a certain path that is extremely dark. When a person passes away, the soul embarks on this dark path. If he did not learn Torah, the soul doesn't know which path to follow. Only the Torah that a person learns in this world illuminates the path before him. This is the meaning of the following verse. For the mitzvah is a candle, and the Torah is light. This again is the meaning of when you walk, she will guide you. When you lie down, she will guard over you. That is, in the merit of the Torah, the soul guards over the bones, keeping them from rotting. The protection spoken of here is specifically over the bones. The verse thus says, many evils may strike the righteous man, but Hashem delivers him from every single one. He protects all his bones. Not one of them, the loose, is broken. The one special bone that does not decompose is the loose bone. In the merit of this, all the other bones will stand. For eventually, all of them will stand at the time of the resurrection of the dead. This is the meaning of the verse, and Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the light with which the Holy One is going to resurrect the dead. Then the dark pallor that covered the face of the dead will be removed. And there was light. This refers to the light that will shine after the resurrection of the dead. For after the advent of the seventh millennium, there will be no more darkness. Rather, light will shine like the day. And it shall come to pass on that day that there shall be neither bright light nor thick darkness. Rather, a day will come, it is known to Hashem, that is neither day nor night. At evening time there will be light. This is the meaning of, and it was evening and it was morning, day one, which can be read as in the future, night and day will both be considered day. This also alludes to the fact that the darkness of death will also come to an end. This is the meaning of the verse, one who dies at age 100 will be considered a child. The general lifespan of humanity will be so long that a person who dies at age 100 will be considered a child. For Israel, however, there will be complete freedom from death, as the verse attests. Death will be swallowed up forever, and Lord Hashem will wipe the tears off every face. He will remove the insult against his people from the entire world. Hashem, the Merciful One, has declared this. I am adding, this paragraph indicates that there will still be death for people who have not achieved the level of consciousness called Israel. And for those people who have reached this level of consciousness, there will be freedom from death in all its forms. Body death, business death, relationships dying, and many other levels. This implies that there will be something that feels like a second-class citizenship. This will cause many problems that will still need to be resolved. That will be the spiritual work during the 1,000 years of Shabbat. And this was a translation by Rabbi Sutton from the writings of the Ari. Does anybody have any questions? Because there's a lot of material here that you have not heard before. The beginning, heaven or earth. The Arizal resolves a dispute between the two Talmudic schools. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The Torah begins with the letter Bet, whose numerical value is 2, to inform us that 2 things are called beginning, namely the heavens and the earth. For just as the heavens were created first, so too was the earth. We read in the Talmud in Hagiga, the house of Shammai maintains that the heavens were created first, and only afterwards the earth, as it is written. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens first, and then the earth. The house of Hillel maintains that the earth was created first, and only afterwards the heavens, as it is written, on the day that the Lord Hashem made earth and heaven. The house of Hillel challenged the house of Shammai. According to your reasoning, a person who wants to build a 2-story house would first have to build the upper story, and only then complete the ground story. That is impossible for a man to do, and it is even unlikely that Hashem would switch the natural order of things in such a way. This is the meaning of the verse, did he build his upper chambers in the heavens, and only then establish his stairway on the earth? We must therefore say that the earth was established first, and only then the heavens. Heaven and earth were created together like a pot and its cover. Bet Shammai retorted to Bet Hillel, according to your reasoning, a person makes a footstool first, and then a chair upon which to sit. The following verse indicates otherwise. Thus says Hashem, the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. We must therefore say that the heavens preceded the earth. The rabbis maintain that they, the heavens and earth, were created together at the same time. As it is written, my right hand is stretched forth to heavens. Hashem called to them and they stand up together. The Midrash adds, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli said, another verse helps prove Bet Hillel's position. Long ago you founded the earth and afterwards the heavens and are the work of your hands. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of the sages, in terms of the entirety of creation, it is clear that the heavens preceded the earth. In terms of bringing the creation to completion, it is clear that the earth preceded the heavens. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I am surprised that those fathers of the world, Shammai and Hillel, argued over the order of the creation of heaven and earth. Rather, in my opinion, they were created together, like a pot and its cover. As the verse attests, Hashem calls to them and they stand up together. Rabbi Chaim Vital now begins to explain the above dispute. I am adding, a better translation for dispute is machloket, which means an argument in search of truth. It is usually translated as an argument for the sake of heaven. In the first verse of the Torah, the heavens are mentioned first, while the earth is mentioned second. The same is true in the other verse in Genesis 2:4, where the first half of the verse states, these are the chronicles of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Nevertheless, in the second half of that verse, the order is reversed and reads, on the day that God Elohim made heaven and earth, earth and heaven. Similarly, it is written in Isaiah, my hand has also founded the earth, and my right hand has stretched forth the heavens. Interestingly, the verse begins by saying, my hand has also founded. This seems to indicate that the heavens were created first. And afterwards, however, when it says, and my right hand has stretched forth the heavens, the prefix and of and my right hand seems to indicate that this was done after something else, namely after his left hand founded the earth. Only after this did his right hand stretch forth the heavens. In addition to there being numerous verses that seem to contradict each other, in Isaiah, thus seems to contain its own internal contradiction. In the universe of Briah, the heavens preceded the earth. In order to understand this properly, it is necessary to introduce an important distinction in the universe of Briah. The heavens preceded the earth, for in that dimension, holiness and spirituality dominate. In the lower world of Asiya, on the other hand, the earth preceded the heavens. Briah is the casual reality that lies above and behind the physical world that we perceive with our senses. It corresponds to the first day of creation when everything was still in potential. Asiya, the action, the completion, is usually identified with the material dimension. That is the end produced of the entire creation process. By introducing this distinction, the Ari has shown that Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel aren't really arguing. And teaches us to look deeper into the layers of reality that lie behind and above our sense-perceived world. In a few minutes, we're going to lose the recording, but 5 minutes later, we have a new recording starting. So we'll take a 5 minute break, and then we will continue. In Asiya, physicality is more dominant. This is the meaning of the statement in the Midrash above by Rabbi Yochanan. In terms of the entirety of creation, it is clear that the heavens preceded the earth. In terms of bringing the creation to completion, it is clear that the earth preceded the heavens. In Asiya, the physicality is more dominant, for the entire intention of bringing the dimension of Asiya into existence was to materialize it and to give it form to all. The subtle level that preceded it, the verse from Genesis 2:4, indicates that by placing earth before heaven, accordingly, the first half of Genesis 2:4, these are the chronicles of the heavens and the earth when they were created, alludes to the dimension of Briah. The world of creation, the second half. On the day that God Elohim made earth and heaven, alludes to the dimension of Asiya, the world of action or making. Similarly, in Isaiah 48:13, the first half of the verse refers to Briah, in which heaven preceded the earth. This explains the addition of the word also in the first part of the verse, indicating that something, heaven, preceded the founding of the earth, especially in Briah. Conversely, the second part of the verse refers to Asiya, in which the earth preceded the heavens. This explains the prefix, and of and on my right hand. It indicates that an Asiya is something else. The founding of the earth preceded the stretching forth of the heavens. I am adding, earlier in these classes, I posed the question, were heaven and earth created simultaneously? After this clarification, the question was not answered, in my opinion. The answer is yes, they were created simultaneously. This is due that there is no process in the Creator, and thus it is possible for the Creator to create both simultaneously, meaning Hashem spoke into existence the worlds of Briah, Asiya, and the world with the same words. We should be losing the recording shortly, so I'm going to pause here, and I will ask for questions after the break.
Malka?
Yes, Malka.
Oh, I'm back.
No, I don't think we've ended yet. So we're going to be ending momentarily. So we're waiting for that, and then we'll start.